Welcome one, welcome all to episode 3 of Between the Trenches. I'm Dwayne Turner, your host for today, joined by my good friend and co-host, Mitch Sanderson. Mitch, how you doing today?
Doing good today, bud. Getting into the NFC South, you know, my favorite division. Yeah. Not a lot of people's favorite division after last year. Had a bad season last year. Nobody finished with a winning record, and the Panthers made the playoffs with 7 wins.
Somebody has to win the division, right?
Yeah, so. I guess so.
So, do you want to lead off with any, I guess, some news that might have been passing through the NFL today?
Well, we had a little bit of news with nothing major, but Michael Oher, who you may remember from The Blind Side, a movie that he does not want you to remember him from. Michael Oher got in a bit of a fight the other day with Coney Ealy. Oher, of course, was signed by the Panthers this offseason.
Right.
He got in a bit of a tussle there. And apparently it came from some insults thrown about from him being in that movie The Blind Side, which is he said basically since that movie's come out that he didn't like it.
Yeah, he pretty much denounced it right away. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's still not happy about that. And that we'll get a little bit about that, a little more about Michael Oher later on. Sure. Nothing too major going on, but let's start off with something that was kind of major this offseason. Jameis Winston goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers first overall.
That's right.
Not a place that you definitely want to earn. But they earned that spot last year with a 2-14 record.
Right.
Why don't you let us know a little bit about how the Bucs are looking this season, Dwayne?
Okay. So, like you mentioned, Jameis Winston comes in as quarterback. I mean, he'll definitely be the starting quarterback.
Yeah,
obviously, I think that's... They rotated between Josh McCown last year and Mike Glennon, and that was a disaster, to be honest. Yeah. The offensive line didn't help, but, I mean, they just did not get the production they expected.
No.
I mean, they have, in terms of weapons, I believe that, especially on the offensive side of the ball, they have weapons.
They have a couple, yeah.
Mike Evans. They have Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, the young tight end. Austin Seferin Jenkins.
Exactly. So, Jameis Winston will not be short of talent, especially at the wide receiver and tight end positions. In terms of the running back, they bring back Doug Martin.
Yeah, Doug Martin, who might be buried a little bit in the depth chart. They didn't pick up his rookie option this year, but they did tell him, you know, they came to him and told him, this is kind of like a carrot in front of your face here, something to motivate. They're hoping to get more out of Doug Martin.
Right.
He had a great rookie year.
Exactly.
And he's been kind of injury-plagued ever since.
And to be honest, ever since he's actually been out there, even regardless of the injury, he hasn't looked the same since that rookie season. So, you know, you mentioned some of the other running backs on that depth chart. There's Sims. There's
Mike
Bobby
James.
Rainey.
Yeah.
Exactly, Mike James.
I think they're going to go with maybe more of a running back by committee this year, which seems to be pretty popular in the NFL.
I agree. In terms of Jameis Winston, I think you and I kind of disagree in terms of, like, what kind of player. Well, I think we agree on what kind of player he is and what he could be. And I think where we disagree is where he should have been taken in the draft, right? Because I personally think that he was the best talent and he should have been taken first overall, especially for a quarterback needy team in Tampa Bay. But I know that
I was a little more concerned with his off the field issues,
which is understandable. A lot of people were.
And that was something that, you know, each of the teams did their background checks on, and some teams didn't like Winston and some teams did. Personally, when you got, for me, I would have had Mariota ahead of him just because.
Sure.
Just because of that off-field kind of almost security with Mariota. But, yeah, you're right. What do you think, Winston? Do you think Winston doesn't start every game this year?
Due to bad production?
Yeah,
outside
of injury, of course.
Okay.
But do you think anyway, if Winston struggles, do you think the Bucs might go back to Glennon, or do you think they stick with Winston all the way through?
I personally think Mike Glennon is a career backup anyway. And, you know, I hate to be harsh. But because, I mean, the thing is, the first 2 years of Mike Glennon, I personally haven't seen anything to say that, you know, he should be starting over anybody else, even when Josh McCown was there and healthy. So it would have to take some poor, poor play from Jameis Winston, I think, for him to oversee him.
Yeah,
that's fair. Honestly, I don't think Mike Glennon is in the long-term plans of the Bucs anyway. I mean,
no, look. I think you may be right. As a backup, he may be. They may like what he brings to the locker room.
Right.
Because I think you're right. He hasn't shown nearly enough And he's been given plenty of opportunities. Last year, he had a few games where he had 50 attempts.
Right.
And, you know, and completed maybe 25, 30 balls. So, so they've given him lots of space to grow and to show, and I don't think he's necessarily done that. And taking a guy – when you take a guy first overall, that I think that that shows some commitment. Where I worry about Winston, because I think he'll may do fine this season, where I do worry about him is two places, losses and the off season. If you watched Jameis Winston in that Oregon game,
the semifinal,
he started to, when they got down, he started to implode.
Yeah.
And he did not look good on the sideline. He was yelling at his teammates, at his coaches. So my worry with Winston is how are, because the Bucs, while they are better, they're not going to go 16-0.
No.
And not Winston, yet. You know, he's not a guy who with any losing experience, which is what you want, but is going to be rough. He lost one game in college.
And his whole collegiate career.
And he also only lost one game in high school, also his very last game.
That's right.
So we'll see how that goes. I can see them losing 10 or 11 games, and that hopefully he can keep it together, but something like that may drive him a little off the edge if he doesn't have success right away.
Okay, so one of the biggest things, and I think bringing in Logan Mankins, they did that last season. Obviously, they made that late, just before regular season, they made that trade with the Patriots.
For Timmy Wright, who they signed back the other day.
Brought back, that's a big great point. So they bring him back at tight end. But having Logan Mankins, because like I mentioned earlier, that offensive line, especially the interior of the offensive line, was brutal, really brutal. I mean, some of the preseason games and just seeing earlier on in the season, because obviously it's going to take Logan Mankins some time to get used to that system. So I think just having him come in and have a whole offseason with that group is going to help him because, again, they were really brutal. I mean, Josh McCown and Mike Glennon last season, they were not getting the time they needed to be able
McCown
to perform.
It was hurt every time he came in.
Oh, man.
One thing, though, to look at their offensive line, they did draft two offensive linemen this year.
Good point.
Donovan Smith from Penn State, second round, and Ali Marpet, who is one of the more interesting stories of the draft, a D3 guy who is a smart guy, very athletic, but again, he's played D3, so making that jump to the NFL, we'll see with him. Both those guys I don't think are expected to start day one, and that's, again, I think the Buccaneers are getting better, but they're still young. And they're going to take a year or two.
Right. Okay, so moving on to the defensive side, I'm a huge Gerald McCoy fan. I think that behind J.J. Watt, I think he's probably the second best interior defensive lineman
ahead
in the
of
league.
Sue?
I just think Sue is – okay, you know what? Sue is better at staying healthy. Gerald McCoy has had injury concerns over his short career so far. But I think, I would have him over Sue.
I think you're right. I think McCoy is more balanced. He brings more. He's got power, speed, where Sue is just that, like an animal in there. He just,
right.
Just raw force. That's a good point. I like their, I'm a big fan of their corners. I think their corners are very underrated.
Yeah.
Ultron Verner, and then the young guys, Leonard Johnson and Jonathan Banks. A couple years ago when they had Darrell Revis, they brought Darrell Revis, and they drafted Mark Barron and signed Sean Golson, that defensive backfield looks really stacked.
Right.
Didn't totally live up to the name right away, but I think it's still a pretty strong group.
Yeah. No, I don't know what your expectations are, because I know that the defensive side of the ball for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wasn't what they expected, especially when they bring in Lovie Smith, who's a defensive-minded coach.
I think last year a lot of that had to do with they were on the field a lot. Their offense struggled.
Yeah.
You know, anytime one side of the ball struggles a lot, it starts to affect the other side of the ball, regardless of how skilled they are, just because they got to be on the field more or less or whatever it is, and they can't get in a rhythm or they get too tired.
Lavonte David, he is an incredible talent. That linebacker, I'm telling you. Lovie Smith must just be licking his chops every time he gets to see that guy play right now, I guess, during OTAs. It's just, you combine him with –
signed Bruce Carter from Dallas as well.
Exactly. So there's a lot of talent there. And I was kind of surprised by the fact that they weren't able to get as much production as they were last season. But again, you bring up the point that if you're on the fields as long as you were, it's no matter what the defense is, whoever's coaching it, whoever the talent is there, it's just never going to help.
No. One thing I'd like to just mention there on the offensive side of the ball. Interesting to note before we move on much further is that new offensive coordinator Dirk Koetter comes in from previously from Atlanta.
Okay.
And he is apparently expected to use Mike Evans as the X role only for football context here. The X role is the receiver generally put on the left of the quarterback, not considered the second receiver. Guys like Calvin Johnson, Odell Beckham, Dez Bryant, AJ Green are designated as the Z guys usually, which in that strong that goes on the strong side is usually the strong side of the quarterback, the right side.
Right.
And that is, while most football fans may not notice something like that, it's an interesting move. None of the top receivers in the league are designated as X only receivers, but Mike Evans is going to be there, so that's maybe something to look at on the offensive side of the ball, just if you're a very curious NFL fan and you're looking for a little more than just the big names and the, where they line up, that's something to look out for.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to our predictions for where they will end up finishing. Mitch, where did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers finish in 2015?
I think they stay at the bottom of the division. They have a few more wins. I have them going 5-11. I think that they're going to be in more games than they were last year. Last year they had a lot of games where they just, you know, they got blown out. They're 2-14, so one of the worst teams in the league. I think they're going to stay in more games. They may not have all the talent. Like I said before, they've got a lot of young talent, so it may take a couple years to grow. They're going to show some flashes, but ultimately still probably going to lose out to those top teams.
Well, finally, we have some disagreement in terms of where these teams fall in divisions, because I actually have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers finishing 8-8. I think they take a dramatic step. I think the biggest hole for this team was the quarterback position. They just got inept play, especially due to the offensive line. But I think Jameis Winston, I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer or a Pro Bowler right away, but I'm saying that if they can get above average play from him, then I think that he can take that talent and get them further than they have been in a while. And I think Lovie Smith, second year with that team, I think we're going to see drastic improvements.
All right, well, we'll see if you're right. all right, moving on to a little up the road to Atlanta.
Okay.
The Falcons finished 6-10 last year. They had a shot the last game of the year, if you remember. They had a game against the Falcons, a game against
Panthers.
The Panthers.
It was a
and winner goes to the playoffs.
That's right.
And that game was horrendous. you could barely tell that those teams were making the playoffs. And I expect the biggest addition to this team would be new head coach Dan Quinn.
Yes.
Coming from Seattle, he was a defensive coordinator in Seattle, one of the highly sought-after coaches the last two seasons. He decided last year, after the Super Bowl win, the Seahawks, to stay in Seattle. And he's bringing a whole culture change to that organization.
That's huge. I mean, before you get into, I'm sure you're going to talk about the defensive side here now, but yeah, bringing him in is huge just because they had the 32nd ranked defense in the league last year.
Absolutely. They got nowhere to go with them but up.
They were terrible. So bringing him in is going to be a huge addition. So I don't know if you want to get into it now.
So one thing you can look for with the Seattle defense, I think that'll be interesting, with the Dan Quinn defense, is that he will model
coming from Seattle.
After Seattle.
Right.
So you can look for those players, those big-name players that we've come to know on the Seattle defense, look for similarities with the Atlanta Falcons team. The other thing we talked about last episode, that Seattle is going to start to lose some of these big guys. They're not going to be able to – it's just going to be a matter of dollars and cents. They're not going to be able to – pay all these players, and some of these guys I expect to see in free agency over the next few years end up in Atlanta
or maybe Jacksonville or
maybe
Gus
Jacksonville
Bradley
with Gus Bradley.
Yeah,
and we've seen that a couple times. Red Bryant went there last year.
Exactly.
And
that's
the
a great point.
The big name that was already mentioned this preseason or this offseason was Bruce Irvin. Bruce Irvin's contract with the Seattle Seahawks is up after this year, and he's from Atlanta, and there was talk that, you know, what a great fit that would be. Pete Carroll quickly shut that noise
of
up.
Course.
But that was something, you know, right away. And I think you can start to see a few pieces with Atlanta.
Okay.
They've got a long way to go. Like you said, the 32nd ranked defense, a long way to go from the first ranked defense Dan Quinn's used coming from. But Desmond Trufant, the corner, he can be your Richard Sherman type, an ISO corner. He'll play a lot of one-on-one coverage this year.
That's right.
The rookie first-round pick, Vic Beasley.
Has
a lot of similarities. Been compared to Bruce Irvin.
Okay.
As an outside linebacker, pass rush specialist.
Right.
Another draft pick, Jalen Collins. I don't know if he'll start right away, but he was a big LSU, 6'1", bigger guy. Fits that Seattle, that Dan Quinn mold. And William Moore on the back end, I think, too, is an underrated guy. Not nearly an Earl Thomas, but similar. Not nearly as quick and not nearly the football intelligence. But they'll lean on that backfield. Like I said, they have a long ways to go. I only see really, you know, where Dan Quinn probably wants this defense in 3 or 4 years. I only see 3 or 4 names on this starting defense that'll probably be there at that time.
Okay.
And that's expected. A 32nd ranked defense doesn't get better in one offs. Doesn't make those drastic changes in one off season. But I would expect that the Atlanta defense will be the most improved unit of this division.
Okay. I can see that. I definitely could see that. Moving on to the offense, I think that Matt Ryan is an absolute stud. This division is loaded with quarterback talent, really. I mean, absolutely. Jameis Winston, I have a lot of high hopes for.
He has some high hopes to live up for.
But, yeah, the other three are absolute studs. I mean, Matt Ryan quarterbacks the Atlanta offense, as we already know. And he's going to need some help from that offensive line. We just mentioned the Tampa Bay one. I think there was a point last season where they had lost so many injuries. Yeah. Offensive, where their tight end, Levine, I'm going to butcher his name here, Tolio or something like that.
Yeah.
Tolio. He had to come in and play on that line.
He was the left tackle for the fourth quarter in like week 4. I remember that game as well. I couldn't believe that. They were down a couple. They hurt a couple offensive linemen
going into the game
in the game, and it just spiraled out of control.
Unbelievable.
Matt Ryan was running for his life that game.
So hopefully he can get some more production. I mean, you know, Jake Matthews, he was drafted pretty high the season before, and he had an up and down season. There were some parts where he really looked really good coming out of Texas A&M, and I don't know. I mean, obviously they're going to be looking for a step up in his sophomore year. I think he'll definitely progress.
I think last year like we said, there were so many injuries. He was forced, you know, to play left tackle maybe a little earlier than he should have been.
Yeah,
but he was their best option at the time.
I think so.
And he had probably too much on his plate a few games.
Right. Now, in terms of wide receivers, obviously Julio Jones is now the number one receiver. He's kind of taking that spot from Roddy White. Julio Jones, when he's healthy, he's definitely a top 5 receiver in my opinion. I mean, he can go up and get the ball as great as any other receiver in the league.
He's one of those powerful runners.
Exactly. Devin Hester, he added a bit of a different element. I mean, coming into it's funny because Lovie Smith kind of misused him in Chicago in terms of like he would throw him out there as a receiver sometimes, and I felt like it didn't suit his best his skills. But then he comes to Atlanta, and then they kind of throw him in as, I guess, maybe the fourth receiver.
Yeah.
And maybe that's when he was able to succeed a bit more because he was able to take advantage of those third or fourth cornerbacks on the opposing team.
And he also – they not set him up in maybe, but they used him effectively on screens, on streaks.
Exactly.
They didn't have him hitting curl routes over the middle of the field.
Good point.
Getting hit by linebackers, which is something that I think – we as fans underestimate how scary that might really be for a guy like Devin Hester, who's, you know, 5'11", 170 pounds.
Right. As in terms of running back, I think they actually do have, like, some talented running backs here. But, again, I think it was the offensive line that held them back last season. Devontae Freeman, in the short time that he was able to get out there, because they were kind of rotating guys, you know. And
of course, they lost Steven Jackson, no longer on the team.
Who,
not necessarily a big loss,
no,
but more of a
I hear
a
what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, Steven Jackson, he's a guy I feel for. I mean, he's one of those guys you just wish could play for a winning team, and he just never got his chance. But I think, though, I do think that Devontae Freeman will be that number one back. They might still rotate the other guys in, but I think
Antoine Smith was a guy last year who had like 4 or 5 touches a game, but he always scored a touchdown.
That's right. It would be like these 40 or 50 yard touchdowns.
Yeah, even when the Falcons were, you know, having bad games, they lost the game 24-7. That 7 points was probably a 40 yard screen pass from Antoine Smith.
Great point. So, all right. So Yeah, we've covered both sides of the ball. Where do you think that the Atlanta Falcons finish in the NFC South this year, Mitch?
I think they stay at third. They improve a bit. Where I agree with you, Matt Ryan is their best player. I think their defense, while I said they're going to be improved, will hope to get in the middle of the pack defensively. I had them going 7-9.
Okay,
it's only one win better than they were last season, but I think they'll play at a higher level, and like the Bucs, they'll be in more games.
Okay.
I think Matt Ryan keeps them in games, and Roddy White keeps them in games. That offensive line's still a bit of a struggle, and the defense with Dan Quinn, I think, will systematically get better.
Okay.
But they didn't add a ton of more talent.
Okay. Once again, we disagree here, I have the Atlanta Falcons winning the division at 10-6. I think this is going to be – the NFC South is going to be a very tight division, and I think 10-6 will be between those division games and all the other games that they have to play. I think that will be enough to get them through and host a playoff game. Again, I just think that I personally think that Matt Ryan is the best quarterback in that division.
Really?
I think that he – yes. I know you're going to be opposed to that especially. But, yeah, I just think that he has a few more weapons on the offensive side of the ball, I personally think. And like you said, I mean, that defense has to get better. I mean, it was the 32nd-ranked defense. It's only going to get better with Dan Quinn under helm. So if they can get it to the middle of the pack, that would be a drastic improvement. So I think that they can win that division.
All right. One thing I will say about Atlanta offense, I think you're right. They do have weapons. I think Julio Jones is probably the best target in the division.
Okay.
But I think Roddy White, his injuries worry me because he's had the last few years. Sure. He's had some injury issues. I just don't know where. I think Julio Jones is a big weapon.
Okay.
The running backs are pretty good. I don't know where the rest of those weapons are, who the rest of those weapons necessarily are.
I should mention, I guess we didn't get to really talk about it, but we talked about how the tight end Levine had to step in on the offensive line.
Yeah.
But they bring in Jacob Tammy.
They also lose Gonzalez.
Well, I guess it's the second year without Gonzalez.
I guess so.
But yeah, no, they have been hurting since they've lost Gonzalez. I mean, bringing in Jacob Tammy, I think he's an established veteran in the league. He's not
a playmaker or a standing guy, but he will make the – when he's, you know, getting one-on-one coverage from a linebacker, that's probably a decent matchup.
Exactly, and Matt Ryan will make sure to take advantage of it. So, well.
All right, so moving on to the second.
Your New Orleans Saints.
In the NFC South. The 7-9 New Orleans Saints. Now, last year was for the Saints. They went into last year with the Super Bowl in mind.
That's right. They loaded up.
Personally, I did not believe that hype. I felt like they didn't have enough weapons, and one move that they, the biggest move of the Saints offseason, was trading Jimmy Graham to the Seahawks for a first-round pick and Max Unger.
Which you actually liked.
I did like that pick, or that trade. I did not like the pick eventually, but I liked the trade, and the reason I liked the trade is because Jimmy Graham was taking up a huge amount of the Saints' salary cap. He was making close to $10 million. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't doing enough.
Okay.
He was very good, but of his targets last year, he had a lot of drops. He had a lot of times where he wasn't credited with a drop, but he probably could have made a catch. He's like we talked about before. He's not much of a blocker. He can disappear in games, and for a guy who you're paying that much money for, I just didn't think that he was worth it for the Saints. Now what this does for the Saints really is, I think it opens up their eyes to the fact that there really aren't that many weapons left in New Orleans. It's not 5 or 6 years ago when this offense was totally loaded with weapons. Breeze is an aging guy, and he's still good. But another aging guy that's not quite as good as Marquise Colston.
Yeah, he's taking a step back.
Last year you started to see the drops,
yeah,
fumbles, just lack of concentration.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who made use of the talents he had, because he was never a burner.
He was a seventh-round pick. He wasn't a burner. And, he was talked about as being a big guy. He's only 6'3". Yeah. He's not a huge guy. The biggest weapon, I think, for the Saints will be Brandon Cooks,
okay.
who has been called so far in camp. They're really happy with what they see out of Brandon Cooks and C.J. Spiller.
Okay.
Brandon Cooks has been called the best player in camp, not named Drew Brees.
Wow.
So that's pretty high praise in the Saints organization. I think Spiller brings something to more of a Darren Sproles type of role back to the Saints.
Right.
But we're going to see a big shift in identity with the New Orleans Saints this year. They're going to become more of a run-oriented team. They drafted Andrews Pete in the first round.
Right.
There's a lot of hype around Mark Ingram. I'm not totally buying into all of the hype, but I think he's going to have – this will probably be his best year just because they're going to give him the ball.
Right. They signed him to a big contract. Like, you agreed with him being re-signed with the Saints?
I didn't. But I also understand where he was a first-round pick and that there's not a lot
former
of
talent, Heisman war,
former
winner.
Heisman winner.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of talented running backs just out there to get. And where the Saints were losing weapons left and right recently, they traded away Kenny Stills as well. Mm-hmm. It was just a necessary move more than anything. I also like Kiri Robinson, who they have behind him. He's a very powerful runner.
Okay.
But where you're going to see a big improvement, I think, is the defense.
We just spoke about the 32nd ranked defense the Atlanta Falcons fielded last season. New Orleans wasn't much better. They were 31st ranked. So
exactly. And it wasn't and they made, I would say, not coaching-wise, but player-wise, have made more moves. They've brought in Brandon Browner, Kyle Wilson to help out the cornerbacks. Ellerbeef was traded from Miami for Kenny Stills.
Right.
Anthony Spencer was signed from Dallas, and they drafted Stephon Anthony, a linebacker, and Kikaha, another linebacker, in the first round. So I think they've made a lot of improvements. Like I said, I didn't like that Stephon Anthony pick, mostly because that was an inside linebacker picked in the first round for a pick that was traded for one of your best players, and I felt like they could have gotten a better playmaker or filled in more of a need. There are a lot of people. I was pretty adamant about my distaste for Anthony Spencer on Twitter during the draft, and I got a lot of Saints fans who were saying, "You got check this kid out. He's actually pretty good."
What do you think about the safety position? Jarius Byrd comes back hopefully healthy because, I mean, he's somebody who, when he was in Buffalo, he kind of struggled with staying on the field. But do you think that, say he does play the full season, him and Kenny Vaccaro, do you think that could be one of the more dynamic safety positions in the league?
It could be, and it could be pretty bad, too.
Oh, boy.
So last year, early on, Jarius Byrd got hurt. Vaccaro got hurt. Vaccaro got benched after he got hurt.
That's right.
And they had a few games that were pretty bad. So I think both these guys have a lot of potential, and they showed earlier in the careers. Vaccaro was a rookie, and Byrd more. Byrd is a rookie as well. If you remember, he led the league in interceptions as a rookie.
Okay.
Way back in Buffalo.
Yeah.
But neither of these guys have really, last year especially, because they were together last year, they didn't seem to work very well together. So while they are a high talent level, and I look at the defense, and that could be the strength of the defense in terms of talent.
Okay.
Performance-wise, I still haven't seen what I would like to see out of Jarius, especially Jarius Byrd,
who coming over. Signed to a lot of money.
Signed to a lot of money at a time when the Saints didn't have a lot of money.
That's right.
So that was, to me, last offseason was a kind of a head scratcher. And he didn't work out so well last year. Hopefully he'll have a better year.
All right. So before we get into the predictions, what is your opinion on the Saints drafting a quarterback? Was it in the third round, Garrett Grayson?
I think that was a smart move.
Okay.
Not to say that Drew Brees is going to leave anytime soon, but for the last few years especially, Drew Brees has never really had much of a backup. His backups have been career backup guys.
Okay.
Chase Daniels was like the ideal backup whose greatest skill was keeping track of everyone else's stats. So I think this adds somebody that if Brees were to, God forbid, get hurt, or the Saints started to struggle and they weren't going to make the playoffs, here's somebody that you can bring in and develop. I think you may ideally see kind of an Aaron Rodgers situation. This guy sits for maybe 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
I would say that's probably as many, I'd say 5 years max is what Drew Brees has left. I think that's pretty optimistic. He said that he wanted to play till he was 45. And then he said that last year.
You should ask Brett Favre. That doesn't usually work out.
Yeah, a few months later, he said maybe that was a little much. So I think that they're just preparing, and this guy is a leader. He's personality traits, his intangibles are off the charts.
Okay.
And I think he's got a strong arm, and I think Drew Brees is the perfect guy to teach him more about how to run an offense in the NFL.
Okay. Well, we teased it. What do you think, Mitch? How do you think your New Orleans Saints will finish in 2015?
Well, I have high hopes for my New Orleans Saints, my friend. New Orleans Saints, I have finishing first in the division.
Okay.
At 10-6.
I'm not surprised.
Like you said, the Atlanta Falcons going 10-6 to win the division. I think it's going to be close. I think the Falcons, Panthers, and Saints will all be within a few wins of each other. But, yeah, I think the Saints, in a year where everyone is going to be trying to make a comeback in this division, have the leadership. And hopefully what I'm hoping is that Sean Payton smartens up and stops just throwing the ball and doing the same things all the time. And he changes. He actually looks at the strengths of his offense and his team and changes the way they play the game a little bit. Okay. So I think last year you saw the Saints going through a change of roster but trying to play the same game they've been the years previous. What about you, Dwayne?
All right. Well, don't get mad at me here.
All right.
The New Orleans Saints, they finished with the first overall offense last season. And I mentioned it earlier, the 31st ranked defense. And I agree with you. I think that they're going to have to change and go to a more running style game and try not rely too much on the arm of Drew Brees. However, if that's the case, I don't think that they're going to maintain that position in terms of first in the entire NFL offensively. And if they're not at least within the top five, I think that's a huge, huge problem for them just in terms of being able to stay in games. Because I got to be honest, I'm not quite sure that the defense is going to get much better. I mean, in terms of the coaching staff, they retained Rob Ryan. Everyone thought that he was going to end up leaving after that season, but he's still there and he's a stubborn guy. So I don't see him making many changes to the defense, in my opinion anyway. So in terms of record, I have them finishing exactly where they finished in 2014. 7-9, buddy. I'm sorry.
Second in the division?
Yeah. No, third. That's third because I have the Bucs finishing 8-8. So
7-9. All right. Well, one thing I'll say about the defense is if you remember Steve Spagnuolo's defense before Rob Ryan or Rex Ryan came in, Rob Ryan, sorry, was the worst in the league, and Rob Ryan brought them back to a top 10 defense.
That's right.
And I think that they're going to be – I agree with you. I was actually happy to know that Rob Ryan was not fired.
Oh.
Because I don't know where – I think because I remembered that comeback too well, I think, maybe. But I don't know where you're going to get a guy who can turn around a defense like that so quickly.
Okay.
And I don't have a problem with him. It was one bad year with a lot of injuries, especially Bird. I don't think that was – emphasize enough is that so much of Rob Ryan's defense relies on a kind of a three safety approach sometimes.
That's true.
And taking out Bird was a big loss that I think really the whole team underperformed. I don't necessarily know it was a matter of the coaching staff.
Okay.
But you have every right to your opinion, sir. and to be honest with you, I'm being optimistic, and I want to cheer for my team. So
no, I completely understand. Just wait till we get to the NFC East, buddy.
All right, so moving on to the team that, like we said, made the playoffs with a losing record.
And hosted a playoff game.
The second team to do so in the last 10 years, a few years ago, if you remember, the Seahawks did it.
That's right.
And they beat my New Orleans Saints with the Beast Quake.
It all comes full circle, man.
Full circle, baby. Okay, so Cam Newton signed a big contract.
Yes, he did.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Why don't you start us off, Dwayne? How do you think the Panthers' defense is going to look? They've been a strong unit the last few years.
Yeah, well, they didn't start off this season as well as they did the previous season because I believe they're at least in the top three ranked in the defense. This season they finished with the 10th ranked defense, and I expect it to get much better. I mean, I think that they definitely have the talents. Luke Kuechly was the 2013 Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And him along with Thomas Davis, I think that's one of the more formidable linebacker crews in the league. I guess now that Patrick Willis is retired, I think I could say that it's probably the best.
But you know what? Add Shaq Thompson to that group too.
Oh, oh boy, that's right. That's a good point. Their draft pick, yes. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, so in terms of the defensive line, I think, okay, you know what? I think I can kind of have an idea as to why that defense didn't perform as well as it did early on. They ended up losing
Greg Hardy
due to
off the field issues
to put it lightly. So he was such a dominant force on that defensive end side for them, and to lose him early, they had to manufacture those sacks from somebody else. So I think once they were able to get the guys going, Star Lotulule, thank you. He's a fantastic defensive tackle who I think, you know, he was underdrafted because of that heart condition, I believe, going into the draft. But he's definitely proved his worth now going into his third year. They also have guys like Charles Johnson who, you know.
He's going to fill that Greg Hardy role.
Exactly. So I think there's. And you mentioned Coney Ealy earlier. I mean, he's another guy who I think they're going to expect a bit more from him.
Yeah.
Right now they have Wes Horton slotted as the other right defensive end over him. But I think that Coney Ealy, even if he has to come in on third down.
I think that exactly. He's more of a pass rush guy, so we may see him on third downs.
Third downs, yeah. So we'll see what happens. I think what their issue was mainly, though, even after the Greg Hardy incident, was the cornerback position. Well, I guess it plays into it, actually. With Greg Hardy not being there and them not being able to create as much pressure to the quarterback, their cornerbacks weren't able to then produce as well as they did the season before. You know, we always mention it. Like, the back end is so dependent on the defensive line, the front end. And if they're not getting pressure, you're leaving your cornerbacks out there on an island. And look, some of the best receivers, even the average receivers, are going to eventually get open.
The cornerback position, I think, in the NFL is athletically the most difficult position to play in the sport.
I agree.
These guys are by and large, smaller than the players that they're covering. They have to keep sensitive. They have to keep them, stay with them, change their direction, stay with the ball. They've got all these rules working against them.
Right.
One thing with the Panthers is, though, they added Charlie Tillman. Peanut Tillman from
that's right, from the Bears.
Chicago Bears, who has been injured the last few years, and I don't think he'll start. I think they'll be a little cautious about him.
Okay,
but he'll just in the locker room. He's a great guy, a former Walter Payton Man of the Year. He's a great guy to have in your locker room and provide some leadership.
Absolutely.
I think one name that a lot of people don't know, maybe you don't know yourself, is Josh Norman, who I think is one of the best kept secrets. In that division.
Okay.
He's a smaller guy, but look out for Josh Norman, number 24 in the Panthers defense.
Will do. Yeah, you know what? Ron Rivera, he's a defensive-minded coach. He can coach up defense. So, like I said, 10th ranked this past season, but I expect them to move back up into I'm going to be optimistic. I think that they could be a top 5 defense. I really do. I think that
the addition of Shaq Thompson adds a lot, because he's like at Washington, if you're unaware, he played running back, defensive line, linebacker, and receiver and safety.
Oh boy.
So that's a guy that can do a lot of things for you, and he's going to play. I wouldn't be surprised to see him playing almost as a nickel sometimes.
Wow.
maybe against, and he could be one of those guys who's one of those quote unquote perfect tight end guys.
Right.
Right. A kind of a linebacker safety swap. And that's something that having those guys, those versatile linebackers who can rush and cover the run and cover the pass.
That's huge in today's NFL.
It's such a big deal, especially when you see so many teams going to basically three or four receivers a lot of the time. You can't play those traditional 4-3s and 3-4s against those offenses.
All right, well, let's move on to the offensive side of the ball. You mentioned Cam Newton. Signed a huge contract, and he's going to have some high expectations for him. How do you see the offense, which was 16th ranked in 2014? How do you see it playing out this upcoming season?
This offense didn't – you know, they still have the same issues they did last year, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think maybe the biggest add was Devin Funchess, a second-round receiver from Michigan. And I would say on most teams he wouldn't be that big of an add, but because of the way that they want to use him, he's a big guy, and pair him up with Kelvin Benjamin will be an interesting option. Kelvin Benjamin, though, has apparently come into camp for the second year in a row overweight.
Oh, wow.
He has issues on both his hamstrings in the offseason.
Wow.
So that – and that brings me to my next point, I think, with the Panthers, is that they are pretty top-heavy. They – at a lot of positions, if somebody gets hurt, they're going to have a rough season. Running back-wise, they let D'Angelo Williams go off. He went to Pittsburgh. They didn't really replace him. Have high hopes for Jonathan Stewart, but Jonathan Stewart's been a guy who's had a lot of injury issues in his career.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Greg Olsen will play a big role in the offense, their tight end. And on the offensive line, we can mention Michael Oher earlier, not happy with his cinematic portrayal. He's going to be probably slotted in to start at left tackle, and he's somebody who signed a five-year deal with the Titans, got waived after 1 year. It's not a good sign. He struggled. He was with the Ravens. He played him on the right side, and they tried him on the left side from time to time, and it never worked out.
No, it did not.
And this was something that last year we saw Cam Newton struggle when he got hit so many times, taking injuries. And this is something that I've talked about
before. Yeah,
with his big contract, this guy can't take all these hits. If they got a couple injuries in the offensive line, I think if they can stay healthy, they'll compete with anybody. In this division especially. One guy to maybe keep an eye out for is Stephen Hill. If you remember, Stephen Hill was drafted in the first round out of Georgia Tech to the Jets, and he was supposed to be the next Demaryius Thomas, Calvin Johnson, big body receiver at Georgia Tech.
Well, I think it was either the first or second game he started for the Jets. He had an incredible game. I think it was over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns,
He had two or three games where, he really stood out. But they were really disappointed with – he was kind of too raw.
Right.
And didn't know enough of the routes. But that doesn't seem like something that the Panthers worry about. Last year they had Kelvin Benjamin for a lot of it running basically option streak routes where he'd just run up the sideline, and if he was past his corner, he would keep running. And if the corner had caught him, he'd turn around and turn into a hook. So that's something that maybe if one of these receivers goes down or Stephen Hill just slides up to the lineup, he kind of fits that mold of big, fast guy, maybe doesn't need a ton of skill or a ton of routes in his, on his resume.
I mean, just to play off of what you just said there, Mitch, we saw a lot of circus catches from Kelvin Benjamin last season, and it plays to what you just mentioned. I mean, he had a tendency to just kind of run wild at the end points of his routes. So Cam Newton was throwing it in the area, and then Kelvin Benjamin would just, like I mentioned, just would make those kind of circus catches to make up for it. It's
a risky way to run your offense,
It really is.
And I think they're with Funchess, they're going to kind of model the same thing. They have Ted Ginn, and Jericho Cautry is their other kind of slot receivers, maybe, or smaller receivers.
Philly Brown went undrafted last season.
That's
and
true.
He was pretty productive, especially down the
especially
late in the
season. In a return game.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. But he's just not.
No, they.
With all due respect to him, he's not a starting wide receiver in the NFL.
Not at all. And I don't know. I think outside of Kelvin Benjamin, who we mentioned, overweight, had some injury issues. This is an offense that I'm not sure where the weapons are coming from. And like we mentioned, I think Greg Olsen will be the number one weapon.
Without a doubt, yeah.
And Cam Newton will do everything that he physically can to will that offense to get first downs and get touchdowns.
Right.
But that is asking a lot.
Running backs. I mean, just talk about the running backs. Again, I mean, look, Jonathan Stewart, he's a guy who needs to stay healthy for this running game to be productive. I mean, they've got Mike Tolbert,
who has been a great, entertaining guy to watch.
Those end zone dances,
he's like 5'5" and 5 feet wide, and
it's like a pinball.
Yeah, and he runs, and he can just truck through everybody, bounces off guys. Yeah, he's a fullback, and he's He's got a little, he's got a bit of a gut, and he can't really. He's not a guy that you're gonna. He's not a guy you can play every down.
He's got nimble feet, but you're right. Yeah,
he's
you're,
not.
You're
doesn't have
doubt.
That durability, and they have a stretch of guys: Jordan Todman, Fozzie Whitaker. These kind of journeyman guys.
Fozzie Whitaker, you remember he was start. I think he started at some point because all their running backs, were out. Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams when he was with the team. So,
and they took Auburn running back in the fifth round, Cameron Artis Payne.
That's right.
He had some success as a bit of a speedster and a playmaker at Auburn, so maybe they slide him in. This is an offense that, if it has success, may have success with guys that we've never heard of. maybe not never heard of, but are kind of reluctant to hear about.
All right, so before we get on to the predictions, one last guy I just want to kind of spotlight, Ryan Khalil. I mean, he took a step back, I think. Like, even his brother. We'll get to the NFC North later, but those two, the Khalil brothers, did not have a great 2014. And for your center, Cam Newton's going to be expecting a lot more.
That's true. He's getting into he's only in the eighth year of his career, but he looks like he's in the 14th year of his career.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's taken a lot of – he's had some real good years there starting off his career, and now he's he maybe just be beat up. This is a tough league to play in, and guys get – especially when you play for a team like Carolina, who hasn't had a ton of success in their past, that can wear on you.
Okay, well, let's move on to those predictions. Again, the Carolina Panthers finished first in the division, 7-8-1. Where did they finish in 2015, Mitch?
Well, you go first this time.
Oh,
Wayne.
Okay. All right. Well, see, the thing is, like I said, they started off the year strong, finished the year strong, had a terrible middle, where they saw the offensive line, like we mentioned, pretty much fall apart and him have to
run. If you want to reference that, look up the Monday night game against your Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I enjoyed it, but I'm sure Cam Newton didn't enjoy it too much. No. He had to rely a lot on Kelvin Benjamin, a rookie at the time, and Greg Olsen. I think the defense, like I said, I think if the defense can get back into the top five and the offense can get, mainly if the offensive line can stay healthy and keep Cam protected, I think that this is a 9-7 team.
Well, sir, we agree on something today.
Whoa.
Yes. I also have these Panthers at 9-7.
Wow, okay.
Now I have them second in the division. Is that where you have them? As well?
Okay, so, yeah, so I made a bit of a mistake. So actually, we agree on this, but we don't agree on your Saints. I actually have the Saints in last because 7-9 would have them in fourth.
All right. So back to the Panthers. Yeah, second, I think they're going to – I agree with you. My worry, I think these guys – I have 9-7, but I think a couple injuries and these guys could be 4-12, 5-6.
Yeah.
That's my biggest issue with the Carolina Panthers. I think their defense is going to be solid. Like I said, I think the addition of Shaq Thompson to an already stellar defense –
I'm glad you brought that up, yeah.
And being such a versatile player will be a big add. I also think – not having Greg Hardy. They didn't have Greg Hardy last year, but he was still around. He was still a distraction.
Exactly.
And I think that's going to help not having those distractions. Panthers probably learned their lesson from that. If somebody has some off-the-field issues this year, they may have a shorter leash.
Right.
Second, I have them second in the division.
Right.
Not in the playoffs, though.
Okay, so you say 9-7 is not a wild card spot.
Not this year.
No, I agree. All right, well, I guess we got to wrap up now, right, Mitch?
I guess sounds good.
I was thinking that since the NFC South plays the AFC South, maybe we could preview them for next episode. What do you think?
All right, sounds good. AFC South.
All right.
Andrew Luck, Indianapolis Colts.
J.J. Watt.
Here we go, Marcus Mariota. And, of course, the incomparable Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, boy. Well, I guess we'll have to tease that one. I don't know. We'll see if we think that they can make an improvement.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to episode 3 of Between the Trenches. I'm Mitch Sanderson saying goodbye with my good friend and co-host, Dwayne Turner.
All right, signing out. We'll see you guys for episode 4.
Let me ask you a question. Who could possibly have it better than us?
Nobody!